When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. All of Wisconsin's Republicans in the U.S. House are praising new Speaker Mike Johnson. Scott Fitzgerald calls Johnson an honest congressman with strong conservative values. Democrat Mark Pocan says Johnson works against gay rights and reproductive rights.
Well, I can tell you he's definitely going to fit the mainstream of MAGA America.
That's Pocan speaking with Civic Media's The Devil's Advocate show. The University of Wisconsin in Platteville says staffing cuts will save the campus about $9 million. UWP announced yesterday it's cutting its workforce by 111. Oshkosh, Green Bay, and Parkside are also laying people off. Richland Center, Fond du Lac, and West Bend are closing. In all, UWP will reduce its number of staff by over 12%. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks win their season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won a thriller at Fiserv Forum, the final 118-117 over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bucks jumped out to an early lead, but Philly came back in the fourth quarter. Giannis had 23 points and 13 rebounds.
We were up, then they came back, then we were up, they came back. You know, I felt we could take care of the ball better, take the game away from them when we were up 18 or we were up 12 or something, I don't remember. But we're going to come back, we're going to be better.
Damian Lillard scored 39 points, setting a new team record for a debut.
It wasn't them telling me, you got to score, you got to do this. It was just, you know, they trust my judgment. They inbounded it to Giannis. I was just kind of reading him like, you know, what you want to do. And he was like, come get the ball.
Adrian Griffin gets the win in his first game as the head coach and gave the credit to Lillard.
You just got a sense during the game he wasn't going to let us lose. What can I say? You know, he was incredible.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and showers and storms in the overnight. We'll see temperatures dropping to 49 degrees by daybreak. Our winds turning to the northwest Friday. That means falling temperatures behind a powerful cold front. Some early showers, then mostly cloudy skies near 40 by the late afternoon. Right now, it's 58.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Thursday, October 26, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. We welcome you in on yet another deadly mass shooting in the United States. Not sure where you're at today, but here in Madison, the state's capital, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, rainy, overcast, and drizzly. Seems fitting for today. Want to have a discussion to lead things off about what's happening, give you an update what's happening in Maine. A manhunt underway after yet another mass shooting in America. And welcome the discussion on guns, on mental health. I ask this question every time. I've been doing this now back on the air for a year. Mr. Zommers, I've lost track of how many of these mass shootings we've had in a year. I can't remember.
It's the actual number is honestly irrelevant. It's just too high. It's so high and so disturbing that it seems like the magnitude of these shootings and the number does not matter to the people who need to change things.
It's very well said. They're very well said. The number of mass shootings, it doesn't matter. You're right. One is too many. Your thoughts, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I'm going to talk about this, going to update you, let you know where things are at. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, going to introduce you to the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who many of you, including me, knew little about until the last 48 hours. But boy, the more you know, we will update you at the bottom of the hour. And politically, how does this impact things? It's not just the nation's finances, the trying to avoid a shutdown in government. It's not just the aid for Israel and Ukraine. But then there's a whole political component. Because Republicans rejected Emmer from Minnesota, who believed in at least basic election rules, and decided instead to go for a Trumper. And not just a Trumper, but I mean hardcore. The big winner, by the way, Charlie Sykes of Bulwark said this earlier today. He's right. The big winner, Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz and the Crazy Caucus. They got a more palatable version. Adam Kinzinger, veteran, former Republican congressman from Illinois, who was run out of the House, run out of the Republican Party because he had the audacity to vote for impeaching Trump, had the audacity to sit on the bipartisan January 6th committee in Congress with Liz Cheney, fellow Republican. Adam Kinzinger yesterday had it about right. He said of Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, he's Jim Jordan in drag. I like that. I thought that was pretty good. Because he cleans up well, Mike Johnson does. Very former radio talk show host, conservative talk show host as well. So anyway, that's we'll talk about that a little bit. I want to start out, though,
With what we know so far, an intense manhunt still underway for a suspect this afternoon. The shooting rampage at a bowling alley at a restaurant that left at least 18 people dead and 13 injured in Lewiston, Maine, according to authorities. Robert Card, age 40, is facing an arrest warrant for 8 counts of murder and should be considered armed and dangerous, according to police. He is a certified firearms instructor and a member of the U.S. Army Reserve, according to law enforcement. Police are urging residents to shelter in place to report any suspicious activity to authorities. Lewiston is the state's second largest city, located about 36 miles north of Portland, Maine. The rampage in Maine, the deadliest U.S. mass shooting since the Uvalde school massacre. It adds to a grim docket of 565 such incidents where 4 or more people are shot, excluding the shooter, across the country this year, according to Gun Violence Archives. This year, we are in October, 565 mass shootings so far. 565. We've said this before in this program, for those that might be new to the show in our new time slot, every day from noon until 2. Mr. Zomers and I are both gun owners. We are both outdoors people. We both go hunting. Mr. Zomers, arguably more these days than I do. I deer hunted a long time. Squirrel hunted, small game. I basically, occasionally pheasant hunt and turkey hunt now.
Right. I'm not a huge hunter either, but my dad is. And so I like to do it to go spend time outside, spend time with my family and stuff.
You just went bear hunting, for goodness sake.
I did.
I mean, you've gone hunting more recently than I have. I think hunting is an important Wisconsin tradition, an important right. American tradition. I think that hunting, particularly hunting that is part of the conservation process, meaning in particular deer hunting and other things. I mean, the species, if you don't call them out, they get overpopulated and then can die of, a very painful, long death if there's not food and things. I think hunting is a great tradition. It's a great bonding thing for families to mentor other people. That's not what we're talking about. So the basis is here, I believe in the Second Amendment that people should be able to own firearms to go hunting, basic firearms to protect themselves. I've said it before, I'll repeat it again. I do not know of any reason that a law-abiding American needs to have an AR-15 or an AK-47. I get it. Some people want to just go and shoot watermelons or cans or see things blow up. Well, I'm in the camp of, fine, we can keep those kind of weapons at a shooting range that are locked up and you can go there and shoot them there. I don't see a need for those types of semi-automatic rifles in people's personal caches. We had an assault weapons ban in this country in the 90s, and it helped somewhat to alleviate these shootings. Here in Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers put in millions of dollars for mental health awareness and to provide some mental health help. Republicans on the State of the Union or the State of the State address, excuse me, Republicans stood up and applauded when Evers introduced somebody in the gallery whose kid, I believe, I can stand corrected. I don't want to say something that's not true. I believe it was a family of a young man who had died by suicide. And then when Evers said how much money he wanted to put into it, the Republicans stayed in their seats and gave only a fraction of the amount of money that Governor Evers proposed for mental health in this state. It's fairly evident from what we know, this guy, Robert Card, the alleged gunman in this situation, a warrant out for his arrest, says right here that the guy had mental health issues, was in a hospital, said he wanted to harm people, and still somehow he was allowed to keep his weapons or to get more and out on the street. It is a combination, in my opinion, of having access to these type of weapons in addition to not having a healthcare system that can help folks like this who clearly are struggling with mental health issues. Meanwhile, families no longer have a brother, a sister, a dad, a mom, a grandparent, a child. It is a stark reminder that we never know anymore. I mean, we've you know, a traffic accident, right? A heart attack. You say, well, you never know. I might not see you again. That's always true, right? But it's gotten to the point where everyday activities, think about it. How many bowling alleys are there in Wisconsin? A lot. It's one of the most Wisconsin things you could do with your family, your friends, the bowling leagues. You think, well, my kid isn't out in the street. She or he is, they're in a bowling alley. Oh, they're down with the friends. They're bowling downtown. They're at the bowling alley. It's a safe place. Not anymore in America. We know that our places of worship aren't safe. They have been assaulted with gun violence in the last few years. There really are no safe places in America to escape gun violence. That's just a fact. Gun violence is the leading cause of death amongst people 18 years of age and younger. Not traffic accidents, not healthcare issues, gun violence. We have a Speaker of the House now who wants an absolute ban on abortion. Doesn't matter whether it's rape, incest, endangering the mother's life, wants a national ban on abortion. The new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. The claim is because they believe that all life is precious, all life. But they don't want to do the simple thing. I'm not talking about just out and out banning guns at all. I'm talking about red flag laws. I'm talking about that you can't go to a gun show and buy a gun without a background check. I'm talking about things that any reasonable hunter or gun owner would say, yeah, that's reasonable. I got no problem with that. There's no reason anybody needs to buy a gun, you know, and use it the same day. If you can't plan, if you need a firearm to hunt or whatever, and you can't plan that out a week or two, that's on you. I'm talking about basic gun control laws, waiting periods, red flag laws, universal background checks, along with banning assault weapons like AK-47s and AR-15s. That's what I'm talking about. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Back with more on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Yeah.
pursuing truth wherever it might lead on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show. It is now 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Thursday, October 26th, Mr. Zimmer is on the board talking about this mass shooting in Maine last night. 13 people dead, at least 18 others injured. Gunman still at large. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. We see them lit up. We're going to take you in order. Jack and Merrimack, thanks for listening and calling in. Jack, what say you?
Well, you always hear thoughts and prayers, and you always hear, geez, guns don't kill people. People kill people. Well, of course guns don't kill people by themselves. People with guns kill people. And there is a solution. And while it won't cure all the problems, it'll help a lot. First thing we need to do is reauthorize the assault weapons ban that was only authorized for a decade. Why they didn't make it permanent? Well, of course, you know, it was a congressional compromise, but mm-hmm. It was started in 94, and it went through 2004.
Yep.
And the statistics are quite clear. Here's a quote from the analysis, and I'm reading this, pardon me. We calculated the risk of a person in the U.S. dying in a mass shooting was 70% lower during the period in which the assault weapons ban was active. So yeah. We have a solution. And in 1996, if we go back, there was a mass shooting in Port Arthur, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
That shooting killed 35 people, and after that, the Australian Parliament, and Australian Parliament is hardly a liberal organization overall.
Right.
It's a very conservative country. There's a lot of guns in the outback, that and people need them because there are animals that'll endanger their farming back there and so on.
Right.
But they instituted an assault weapons ban, a total ban, and a buyback. And can you get an assault weapon in Australia? Yeah. But you have to show a need for it, and you have to apply for it. It's registered. They know who's got most of them. I'm sure there are illegal weapons. Shoot, there are illegal weapons, no pun intended.
Right, right.
There are illegal weapons everywhere.
Yep.
But arguably in Australia, they bought back hundreds of thousands of these weapons, and there hasn't been a mass shooting since. Now, that depends on how you define it. If
right.
you define it as, you know, maybe two or three people, then there might have been.
Right. Jack, now, great call. Really? Go ahead. Go ahead quickly. Yep.
Okay. Well, some people still have the weapons. Sure. Some will. And some will be crazy enough to kill using them.
Right.
But if our legislators have courage enough to do something, then we can cut down that number drastically.
Great call, Jack. Couldn't agree with you more. Jack and Merrimack, thank you so very much. I my former boss, Scott Klug, Republican from Madison, one of the few Republicans in the 90s to vote for the assault weapon ban. Got a lot of grief back in the district from the rural areas. Richland County, Sauk County, Iowa, Lafayette, Columbia County, Greene County. Scott Klug got reelected overwhelmingly. Because he had the courage of his convictions as a Republican. Find me a Republican today that would do the same thing. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. John in Boaz, what say you?
Hi, I agree with the last caller. But the fact of the matter is that the culture has changed for American people and American politics over the last 200 years. Now, if our founding fathers would have realized that the Second Amendment was going to open the door for machines that are designed to kill, like the AR-15 and the AK, they would have had second thoughts.
That's a great
Maybe
point.
Because they weren't made then, you know.
Right. They had muskets. Now, they had muskets, you know, single-shot weapons. It was for a militia, right? It wasn't they didn't have these weapons of war like we have now.
Yeah, so there's the first item. Now going back on the second item, Alexander Hamilton died in a duel right about the same time that our Constitution was made. He died in a duel fighting over a woman or some property. He broke the law because You can't kill anybody nowadays. It was a duel or not. But back then it was okay. But our founding fathers didn't realize the impact of the AK-47 or AR-15 is going to do to the population.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, 200 years will do that, right? Times have changed, weapons have changed, and that's why I think, John, that we can still preserve the Second Amendment. People could have weapons for self-defense and for hunting, legitimate hunting, but nobody needs a semi-automatic rifle like that. Appreciate the call, John and Boaz. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Mark in the sack. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, back in the 80s, Bill Ruger actually said, you know, nobody needs more than 10 rounds in their magazine. That he was a firearms manufacturer, and of course that's been abandoned now. That it's just ridiculous for these high-powered military weapons to be in the hands of just anybody, any damn fool that wants one can get one, and this guy certainly shouldn't have been able to get it. But getting back to Mr. Johnson, the guy is, you know, ignorant of history because he wants to, you know, a Christian nationalist country. Well, what version of Christianity? Because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember in merry old New England, I mean, anybody who is not in conformity with the whatever stricture, you know, what Christianity they had up there was either driven out of the colony or hung, or, you know, they were maimed and shown the exit. And that
we're gonna have a cut, Mark, after the break, after the bottom of the break. I have a cut from Jamie Raskin, Congressman Jamie Raskin, and he does a great job of breaking down what you just said and applying it to what the founders created and what some of these interpretations are today. You're absolutely right. There is no national religion, right? The United States is technically a secular country.
Yep, certainly is.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Always, always welcome. Thank you so much, Mark, in the sack. Let's go quickly. Jay in London, about a minute and a half left here. Jay, it's all yours. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, I've had better days. A little tough over here today with all the news, but what have you got to say today?
I just want to send my condolences to the people of Maine. Oh, my goodness. That was so horrible.
It is. It's a tragedy, and again, one that I think if we had, you know, you can't apply and say, well, if you had different gun laws and we had better health, mental health care, this wouldn't have happened. I don't know that. But I think that the likelihood would have been much less.
God, we mental health people here, but no one is having guns who are mentally ill.
Right.
In this country, no one is having. So I don't know how you guys are going to solve this, but it's a problem.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a problem. And again, you look at places like where you're at in London, it's certainly fewer incidences of these types of tragedies.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, always a pleasure. Thank you so
much. I was busy work. That's why you didn't hear me. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it, Jay. Jay in London, appreciate your calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Going to come back from this break and talk on the other side more about the other big story that Mark in the Sack started to touch on. Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, not necessarily the kind of guy you'd want to live next to you, at least not me, but you decide. On the other side, stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. We've learned that the weapon used in the Lewiston, Maine shootings was an unknown brand, but it was a semi-automatic assault rifle with an extended magazine and scope. This is investigators also try to figure out the why of the shootings. Correspondent Jeff Begay says it might be linked to a former girlfriend.
Intelligence sources are telling CBS News that they believe that recent breakup may have been a significant destabilizing event in the gunman's life.
In retaliation for recent attacks on U.S. personnel stationed in Syria and Iraq, the U.S. military has hit two sites in Syria linked to Iran.
We are aware of an attack against U.S. forces at Erbil in Iraq. It was unsuccessful. No casualties, some minor damage to infrastructure.
Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder. Meantime, in the Israel-Hamas war,
the Israeli military spokesman said the army will continue to conduct limited raids in the coming days.
Charlie Daggett in Tel Aviv. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Weather experts say climate change is making October nights in the Midwest feel warmer more often than not. A new analysis from the nonprofit Climate Central says fall evening temperatures in the U.S. have warmed by nearly 2 degrees on average since 1970. In Madison and Milwaukee, it's closer to 4 degrees. Scientists say mosquitoes are thriving and people with respiratory issues like asthma are suffering. A committee in the state assembly held a public hearing Thursday on a bill that would fine public universities for violating someone's free speech. Under the bill, any Universities of Wisconsin school that is found by a court of violating someone's free speech will get a $500 fine. The school would also be charged $50 a day if the violation continues. If passed by the legislature, the bill would almost certainly be vetoed by Governor Evers. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Mostly cloudy right away this morning. We'll see a little off and on sunshine here through the afternoon. Our high in the low 50s this morning. We're going to drop into the upper 30s to low 40s by late this afternoon. So today is a big transition day. Tonight, 29. Tomorrow, cloudy with some snow showers in the afternoon and a high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed in your tongue.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Well, most days. Well, fun hour number two, at least. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Thursday, October 26th, 2023. Coming up in hour number two, at quarter after or thereabouts, our new ongoing segment, What's Worse? We'll give you two names, two items, two things. We'll ask you which one of those you think is worse or annoys you more and invite you to call in and weigh in. Then at 1:30, comedian Eli Yudin and the crowd work epidemic in stand-up. What is crowd work to a comedian, a stand-up? He'll define it. He'll tell us what it is. And is it a problem? Comedian Eli Yudin at 1:30 here in hour number two. Right now at 35 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, I want to take a look at this new speaker, Mike Johnson. A lot of people didn't know anything about him. I certainly didn't until the last 48 hours or so. And if you gently, we took part of the speech yesterday on the show live when he went to the dais, went to the podium. And you look at him, he's a clean cut, nice looking guy, very smooth talker, very smooth.
Well, I think that's debatable. He did have that whole line about how his wife has been on her knees and they're tired and everything.
Well, sure, but the point is that he doesn't come across as a really angry person,
yes.
Or he's not a bad speaker. He's a very eloquent speaker. Would you agree with that, Mr. Summers?
I would say in general. I think he should have phrased that line differently.
Sure. The content is up for debate, but the way he does it, it comes across as very smooth. He's a former conservative radio talk show host, so clearly knows how to use media and to use his voice.
That's not good.
Well, yes. But here's the deal, and I want you to understand exactly what we're getting into. Not getting into, we're into now. That the Republican caucus, Matt Gaetz was the leader of the crazies, and had a motion to vacate the chair. Kevin McCarthy, the former speaker, did that to himself in order to finally get the speakership on 15 rounds of ballots. He had to agree to let one person call for a vote to vacate the chair, which Matt Gaetz did 3 weeks ago. Threw out Kevin McCarthy, who certainly a conservative, but at least had cut a deal with the Biden administration to fund the government and was willing to work to some degree with the other side. But Matt Gaetz of the crazies got rid of him. Then they had up this Tom Emmer guy. Well, first it was Steve Scalise. All right. Steve Scalise didn't want Steve Scalise. Then it was Gymnasium GYM Jim Jordan. Lots of baggage over being witness to, or at least knowledge of, allegedly sexual assaults at the Ohio State wrestling team. Did nothing about it. He was also an election denier. Voted to overturn the election. A confidant of Trump. Seen as too radical, too rough. Bad fundraiser. Couldn't get the job done. He couldn't get the votes. Then they decided to look at Tom Emmer of Minnesota. Mild-mannered guy. Actually voted to certify the election in 2020. Said, yes, it was legitimate. It was real. But the Trump caucus, which is the majority of Republicans in that caucus, said that, nope, can't have somebody who voted to certify the election in 2020. He was gone. Didn't even get to a floor vote. And then they decide on this little-known guy, Mike Johnson, from Louisiana. And every single Republican voted for him. Except for one, by the way, Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin, 3rd District, because he's still off on this self-proclaimed mission in Israel that is completely not sanctioned by the U.S. government. Nobody asked him to do it. He's literally gone off the ranch. He is AWOL over in Israel. But every other Republican voted for Mike Johnson, including the entire delegation, sans Van Orden. Great tweet yesterday. Matthew Sheffield put this out. Matthew Sheffield, like myself, a former Republican. He is a former Republican media consultant. He now has a podcast called Theory Change. And now does, just kind of in general consulting. He writes this. This is fantastic. I couldn't put it any better. So I'm just going to credit Matthew Sheffield and give you this. He says, Representative Mike Johnson, a Louisiana Republican, just became Speaker of the House. He'll be the most inexperienced speaker in American history. How's that? Get this. The guy has never chaired a committee. He's Speaker and never even chaired a committee in the House. He'll also be the most far-right person to hold the post in a long time. Matthew Sheffield writes that Mike Johnson is an extremist in a tweed coat, and here's why. The most crucial thing to understand about Mike Johnson is that he's a lifer in a hugely wealthy far-right Christian activist sector dedicated solely to weaponize government against people who disagree. Now, I want to before I go on, I want to preface this with my own remarks. For those who listen to the show and those who have not, I grew up in Richland Center, a little town of 5,000 people in southwest Wisconsin. I grew up in the Methodist Church. Was a youth director, actually, for a while there. I left the United Methodist Church when I, kind of like the Republican Party, it left me. I think that denominational churches, to some degree, have forgotten what real Christianity is about, but that's another discussion for another day. I am still a person of faith. I still believe in God. I still pray. But it's very personal for me. And I think that the Lutheran and Methodist and Episcopalian and Wesleyan churches and the Catholic churches all across Wisconsin do great work in large part. This is not an attack in any way, shape, or form on all those churches and all the great folks who do great things in our communities. I'm talking about a sect of Christian religious. I wouldn't even call them Christian. That's my opinion, at least. But they're nationalists, people who basically feel that their far-right views should be imposed on government. All right? That's where this is coming from. Pick up this thread by Matthew Sheffield. He says, Johnson began his career working for the radical Christian supremacist group, ADF. Like most far-right groups, ADF has a misleading name. In this case, it's Alliance Defending Freedom. Doesn't that sound lovely? Alliance Defending Freedom. But when they say freedom, they mean the ability for far-right Christians to force their beliefs on the majority of people who disagree. ADF is the group that took down a national abortion access by providing legal help to the plaintiffs in Dobbs v. Jackson. It's spending millions of dollars finding and fabricating plaintiffs to take away birth control and LGBTQ rights. Mike Johnson was their spokesman. So again, let's look at these issues. People, I have very personal beliefs on abortion, and I respect that. But most Wisconsinites and most Americans would say that, look, whether I believe for whatever reasons on pro-life or pro-choice, if a woman, God forbid, is raped, or there's incest involved, or if the life of the mother is in danger, women should have access, legal, safe access to the right to have an abortion. Mike Johnson completely disagrees with that and wants to, rather than leaving it to states' rights, Mike Johnson wants a national ban on abortion in all circumstances, including life of the mother. No abortion ever, no way. Then it comes to birth control. Wants to take away birth control of women. What does that say to you? What it says to me is this is a guy who wants to go back to the archaic days when women were simply there to cook, clean, and have babies. I'm not making this up. That's the mentality here. Then we have LGBTQ rights. As many of you know who listen to this show, I happen to be gay. This guy wants to take away the ability for anyone who happens to be gay to marry their partner. It's completely opposed to marriage equality, which, by the way, is the law of the land now, thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court. Also, if you have a partner, wants to take away the right when your partner is in the hospital, if you're a same-sex couple, to get information about your partner. Wants to get rid of that. Believes that being gay is a choice of which you can be healed. Do you realize that Wisconsin, and here's the kicker. This guy believes, I've written a paper about it. I got an op-ed article here. This guy wrote an op-ed piece that said that he does not believe that people who happen to be gay should be protected at the job place. So if you work for a state job, if you work any kind of a job and your employer happens not to like gay people, that your employer can fire you legally simply for being gay. Guess which state was the first state in America to protect worker rights based on sexual orientation? Wisconsin. And you know who the governor was that signed that bill into law to protect people's working rights based on their sexuality? Republican Governor Lee Sherman Dreyfus. That's what Wisconsin used to be. A forward-thinking, progressive state. Wisconsin, under Republican Lee Sherman Dreyfus, signed into law the first bill into law to protect workers' rights based on sexual orientation. And then fast forward, under Scott Walker, we had Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, who I call Clocks and Tables Clayfish. Why? Because on the campaign trail, Rebecca Clayfish, speaking of marriage equality, said, well, if we let people of the same sex marry, what's next? People just want to marry their clocks and tables? Clocks and Tables Clayfish. This guy Johnson, he thinks the same way. In fact, he said that if we allow same-sex couples to marry, the next thing is people want to marry their pets. Not making that up. Wants to ban marriage equality. Back to this thread by Matthew Sheffield. He says, Mike Johnson also worked as an attorney at ADF, this far-right Christian group. Another far-right Christian group on court cases trying to block same-sex marriage. The Federalist Society controls the judges on the courts, and the ADF controls the lawsuits that make it to the courts. Johnson actually began his political career by walking into the Louisiana state legislature seat that no one had filed for in 2015. Didn't even have opposition. Once in office, he immediately began to create legislation discriminating against LGBTQ people. He says he's an extremist. Matthew Sheffield says that Johnson is an extremist in tweed. Mike Johnson is very valuable to the far right because so many people naively associate satirical skill with political moderation. Even now, after the Nazis in a suit of the former alt-right, many journalists have failed to learn the lesson. Once he jumped into the U.S. House, Mike Johnson made it his priority to give support to Donald Trump's attempt to steal the 2020 election in the House. He spearheaded a brazen attempt to throw out millions of Biden votes based on no evidence. And you want to know where he directed his attention? Wisconsin. Mike Johnson tried to take away your vote. Tried to get the Wisconsin vote thrown out in court. Led the charge to decertify the election, an election that former Speaker of the House, Republican Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, said Donald Trump lost the election, Joe Biden won the election. Paul Ryan said that. Literally have a book here written by Major Garrett and David Becker, The Big Truth. Donald Trump lost the election of 2020. That is not debatable. That's a fact. But Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, disagrees. And reporters called him on it yesterday. And we're going to hear the response on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Lots more to come. This is the Todd Oliball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Top U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
For
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. This is the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back in. 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock on this Thursday, October 26th, talking about the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, revealing who he really is. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I want to give you some cuts. I want to hear, let you hear this guy in his own words. So it's not just me. It's not just another former Republican. This is this guy in his own words. This is from an interview not so long ago. And this is what Mike Johnson, let's start here. I'm sorry, Mrs. Somers. I'm actually going to start with yesterday. After he became Speaker of the House and he was called by reporters, one of the first questions he got from a reporter was, hey, you led the charge voting against certifying the election of 2020. What do you have to say for yourself, Mr. Speaker? This was the reaction. The reporter asked a legitimate factual question. You led the charge to overturn the election. And as soon as she got that out of her mouth, she was booed down by Republicans behind Johnson. He simply grinned, chuckled, and said, next question. They don't even want to talk about this. They don't even want to acknowledge this. Here's the new Speaker of the House, Republican Mike Johnson, talking about Roe v. Wade and how it ties in to Social Security.
Roe v. Wade gave constitutional cover to the elective killing of unborn children in America, period. You think about the implications of that on the economy. We're all struggling here to cover the bases of Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all the rest. If we had all those able-bodied workers in the economy, we wouldn't be going upside down and toppling over like this. Listen,
the gentleman,
I will not yield. Roe was a terrible corruption of America's constitutional jurisprudence.
Roe v. Wade, he says, the reason that we have this worker shortage, the reason that we can't maintain Social Security for our retirees isn't because of mismanagement in the government. It isn't because we haven't spent our money wisely. It isn't because we haven't worked in a bipartisan way. The reason Mike Johnson says this is messed up is because we allowed too many women to have an abortion. I'm not making it in his own words. You heard it. Let's take a listen to Johnson again, this time specifically on entitlement cuts. This guy wants to cut your Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Don't take my word. Here's Mike Johnson.
It's an important point, isn't it? And again, once again, this is going to set those of you who, and RSC, potentially on a collision course with others in who call themselves conservatives, who have a more populist bent, and who are more comfortable with the government doing things that you think are inconsistent with conservative principles. This leads me to my next question. I think that principle number two of your seven was limited government, right?
Right.
Was that two or three? I can't remember.
Number two, right after individual freedom.
Individual freedom and limited government. And I think you and I would agree that individual freedom and limited government are, you know, opposite sides of the same coin.
Right.
It's difficult as somebody dedicated to principles of limited government to see the ballooning out of the deficit and a complete abandonment of entitlement reform. Your thoughts? We'll start with Mike and we'll go to Mark.
We have to get back to it as a number one priority. The CBO says that entitlement spending, which they define as Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, interest on the debt, right? Those four obligations, we eclipse GDP in what, a dozen years or something. I mean, this can no longer be kicked down the road. You can't wait 8 years to address this. It has to happen yesterday. So we have to have our hand at the wheel and do this. We are completely derelict in our duty. We're rearranging furniture on the Titanic if we don't get this problem under control.
That was the interviewer first, Mike Johnson coming in second, saying that cutting Social Security, entitlement programs, Medicaid, the number one priority. That's your new Speaker of the House. I want to go back to this tweet for a second. Matthew Sheffield says the reason that Mike Johnson is so opposed to and so far out is because he is a Christo-fascist. Because he agrees on the court tenet of mandatory Christian nationalism. He has the freedom to do and say anything else. That's exactly how things work for Trump, who of course endorsed Johnson. They want Christian nationalism.
That's very different than we have freedom of religion in this country, but we do not in this country have an official religion. Don't take my word for it. Here's Congressman Jamie Raskin recently, who does it very eloquently, talking about religion and the founders.
Religious freedom in our country means two things. Our framers rebelled against centuries of religious warfare, wars between the Catholics and the Protestants, every bit as vicious as wars between the Shia and the Sunni today. They rebelled against holy crusades, inquisitions, witchcraft trials, you name it. And they came up in our Constitution with two parts of religious freedom: free exercise that every citizen has, and also no establishment of religion. The government can't establish religion. And these two values stand best when they stand together. They reinforce each other.
There you have it. Jamie Raskin says it very well. We don't have a national religion. We have the freedom of religion. There is no national religion. Let's see if we can get Gene in here quick. Gene and Eau Claire, thanks for holding, my friend. Got about a minute left. What say you? Gene, are you there? Hello, Gene. Well, she was there. Gene, if you're listening, give us a call back. Gene and Eau Claire, whenever you're ready, we'll take her call. But this is what we're dealing with here. Think if you're a Christian and you say, well, I think it's wonderful we have a Christian person in office. Look, Barack Obama was a Christian. George W. Bush was a Christian. Joe Biden, a practicing Catholic. That's fine. But think about it if you had someone of a different faith, be it Jewish, be it Muslim, and they wanted to impose their laws, their religious laws, on you. That's simply not what America is. Gene, are you still there? Gene, or I'm sorry, we got Lori in Middleton. Lori, you've got about a minute and a half left here. Go ahead.
What I was just going to say real quick, Todd, is granted this guy is terrible. He's worse than Jim Jordan, but he looks like Clark Kent. So that's
well said.
Half the problem.
Yep.
The thing is, you know what? Paul Ryan tried to pull the same BS when he was Speaker of the House. It didn't happen. The majority of Republican constituents are on frickin' Medicare. You think they can go back to their constituents and say, yeah, we got rid of that for you. Good luck.
Right. A great point, Lori.
The reason we need to vote blue.
Great call, Lori. We'll talk on the other side. The political implications. How is Brian Shibbing, the Wisconsin Republicans, going to defend? This is their agenda now. How do they get college votes? How do they get Gen Z votes? Your calls on the other side. 844-967-2789. Back after this.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Brian, do you ever have ladies come to your shop, your beautiful, wonderful store on Military, and ask if the diamond they got was real?
Absolutely, they do.
They do, huh?
And how many, if any, are married to people like John Mino?
What's that supposed to mean?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app,
Mino and the Mayor.
Amy Herrick has an event coming up called Smart Girls Rock. I keep
using the term STEM. What does that stand for?
First of all, the acronym STEM actually came around, I think it was first in 2001. The concept has always been around, but actually calling it STEM is relatively new.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
2001 was just yesterday.
Why don't you just relax, Jim?
It feels like it.
How about we let Amy? How about more Amy, less you?
Okay. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support.